You'd be surprised if you'd stop complaining and start praising God, how good you'd feel. You know, I'm afraid for some of you that you look for something to be upset about or critical about, and it's going to cause you you're going to get depressed by that type of mentality. Instead of praising God for his goodness, you'll be hypercritical about every single thing. That if it's not done the way that you believe it's to be done, or even if it's not right, but you will concentrate on that little that's wrong, and you will ignore the rest that is right, and it'll put you into a hypercritical attitude, and you will not have the joy of the Lord. And some of you don't have that joy that you should have because you're so concentrated on one or two things instead of how much the Lord has blessed your life. Now you have to praise the Lord for his goodness. What did David say? He said, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." How about that? So what was David doing? David was saying, "Hey, listen, I'm cast down. I feel bad. I don't feel good. I'm kind of discouraged. Why is my soul disquieted in me? Why do I feel that way? Why am I that way? Hope thou in God." See the difference? "For I shall yet praise him." You know, you and I would be we'd have a lot more joy if we'd spend more time praising the Lord. You want an antidepressant, there's one for you. Praise the Lord more. Stop complaining about everything. You know what? You and I, we can look at each other and we can complain about every single thing. We can see things in your spouse. You can find all kinds of things if you want to have to complain about your spouse. You really can. I want you to think about that for a minute. I wasn't even planning on saying that, but it's working, so I'm going to keep going. But you know what? You can find something to complain about others. You can find something to be upset about or something that you don't like about somebody else or something that may be even a legitimate situation. And you can concentrate on that so long that it actually makes you become critical and you actually become depressed. Why? You're going to ruin everything over a few things. Man, I may not even get to this sermon, I'm telling you. Because I really think this is a problem. I think it's a major problem among God's people. Because I think what you can do in your own life, you can so hyper-examine every single thing in your own life that's not going your way or not going right or not going good, where you just ignore all the blessings of God. Think about it. Think about it. If you're a leader of any kind, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother or a husband or whatever the case may be, whatever it is, you think about it. You and I can maximize the smallest things and make them huge, where they pretty much take over our life until we get that one thing that we want fixed. We will dwell and harp on that forever. I'm not saying don't deal with things. What I'm saying is you can be consumed with things like that. And you'll find yourself discouraged when everybody else is smiling. You'll find yourself ruining everybody. You'll find yourself raining on everybody else's parade, so to speak. Why? Well, because that one thing's not right. So, it's over now. Everything's lost. All hope is lost. Why? Because one thing's wrong. I'm telling you. You can't pastor a church like that. You can't deal with people like that. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There's always something wrong. Let me tell you. I just don't complain to you. But there's always something wrong. There's always a situation. There's always something that can come up. There is always something. And if you and I are not careful, we will concentrate on those things and we will just be taken by those things. And I'm going to tell you what happens to you. You lose your joy. And your soul becomes disquieted in you. It's the only thing that you can think about. Put a lot of stress on your life. What it is a lack of trust in God. That's what it is. It's just a lack of trust in the Lord. That's exactly what it ends up being. It's a lack of faith. Because if you really believe that God was leading your husband, if you really believe your wife was submissive to the Lord, if you really believed and understood those things, if you really did, then you and I, we would trust the Lord through him, and we would just give him to the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You and I can do our best to try to help people, but at the end of the day, they're going to have to do it themselves. And you don't learn that lesson until you deal with people, until you really deal with people's lives and you really are affected, you really affect their lives. I'm telling you something right now. You can sour a spirit of a church, of a home, of anything with that type of an attitude. You can sour it. All in the name of zeal to fix something, you can sour it. Think about it. You can. Why? Well, because I want it to be right, so it's got to be right. Mm-hmm. And I agree, we got to be right. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're not careful, you'll end up being just like this right here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Mm-hmm. I think there's a, you want to know why most people are depressed today? This isn't even good. I'm not even going to get to that message. I'm going to be done in about 15 minutes, and I'm going to preach this message in the afternoon because I know that's the way it's going right now. I felt it when I was over there when we were singing hymns. I knew God was going to do something different, and I was just going to let him do it. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to apologize to you either about it because that's what God wants me to do. But I'm going to tell you what I have seen. I have seen people, and myself included, we get cast down, we get disturbed inside of our hearts over something or over a matter. And we neglect the praise of God. You know, we have so much to thank God for. We have so much to thank God for, but we spend so little time doing it. We spend so little time praising God for his goodness to us and praising his name. You know, because we're concentrated on ourselves, we're self-centered. That's why. We become self-centered where everything becomes about us and the issue that must be fixed, or that thing that must be fixed, or whatever it is in our lives, whatever we're struggling with, or whatever somebody else is struggling with, whatever it is, we get fixated with it. And what happens to us? We just forget about praising the Lord. And you know what? We get in a bad mood. You know, when somebody walks around in a bad mood about something, or you can tell that they're disturbed about it, or even they're cast down about it, one thing you can tell is that they're really looking a lot at themselves. They're really concentrating a lot on themselves. And they're not even looking at anybody else. And they're certainly not praising God for his goodness. Because you can't stay depressed and praise God. It doesn't work that way. Now, when you're concentrating on yourself, that is a point of self-glorification, and you are never going to be pleased, and you are never going to have joy. You are going to be cast down, and you will find something to be cast down over. You will look for something to be cast down over. You will look for something to discourage you, and that will just captivate your mind, and you will just be focused on that. How do I know this? Because I do it sometimes. That's how I know it. Because I do it. Mm-hmm. And I start to think about it. And I start to dwell on it. And I start getting cast down. I get discouraged. Pretty soon I'm like, well, this is not going to work. Nothing's going to work. This is all over. This is terrible. This is the worst thing ever. It's really not. It's really not. But in your mind, because you're so captive, it is the biggest thing ever. It becomes, but you know what happens when you do that? By the way, you let that situation control you. You let it control your joy. You let it control everything about you. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And it takes you over. So pretty soon, you can't even see the blessings of God anymore. You can't even see the goodness of God. You can't even praise God anymore. Why? Because you're too busy worried about that one thing, or concentrate on that one thing that isn't perfect or isn't right or isn't the way it should be. Again, I'm not saying don't fix error. What I'm saying is don't get fixated by it. Because we can be that way. And I'm going to tell you what, wives can be that way. They can become that way if they get discouraged by something their husband does. They can become that way and they can become critical. Husbands can definitely do that. And they can allow themselves to become hypercritical over something. I'm not saying, again, that we don't fix things that are wrong. We do. Okay, we get things right with God. The point is we can't become fixated with them, though. We can't let them consume us in every area. Because you know what? Listen to me, folks. Sometimes it's not as easy as you want it to be. It won't get fixed right away. Some things that happen do not get fixed right away. They don't. Some things that you do wrong will not be fixed overnight. I have talked to many husbands that have had problems with their wives in different situations come up, and it took them a long time to get to that position, and they believe that it should be over in about a few minutes. There's a lot of wives that believe the same thing, that this should just be over and fixed in just a few minutes. It doesn't work that way sometimes. Sometimes it takes much time to fix something. You might get on the road to do it, but it might not be fixed overnight. And you are going to have to place it in the hands of God and leave it there. Otherwise, you will consume yourself with it. Consume yourself with something that you don't have the control over to change. Consume yourself with something that you can't fix right away, that it's going to take some time to get through. And you'll become discouraged by it. Why? Well, because first of all, you're looking inward to yourself. You're looking inward to yourself, and there isn't a lot to be happy about when I look at myself. When it comes to me, that is. Because when I start doing an examination of myself, there's not a whole lot to be happy about when it comes to me. Right? Unless you're one of those people that believe that you've got it all together. There's nothing wrong with you. You got it all fixed. Right? Aaron's giving me the two thumbs up there. That's right. He's got it all together. He doesn't have any problems. He's got it all worked out. There's no problems. If you think like that, then yeah, you would. Then also, by the way, that self-righteousness comes in. And then what do we think? Everybody else has something wrong with them, but not me. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has something wrong, but I don't have anything wrong with me. Then you know what? You know what I've found when I'm looking at myself too much? I found out that your problems are a lot bigger than mine. Did you know that? When I'm looking at you, when I'm looking at myself and saying, well, I'm not that bad, you know, I'm okay, then your problems are huge, man. You people are messed up. Right? Mm-hmm. And you're some messed up people. Right, Brother Andrew? Man. That's how it is, isn't it? Why? Self-righteousness. And by the way, you will get cast down too because of that. Why? Because there's no good thing in our flesh. Nothing. The only good you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't have nothing else good in you. We don't have anything else. There's nothing good. We're not good people. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we're a bunch of rotten people. Amen. It's hard to hear, isn't it? We don't like to hear that, do we? It's too real, isn't it? I'm not rotten. I'm not as bad as that guy down the street. Oh, yes, you are. You just have the Holy Ghost of God governing you. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God, you'd give in to every wicked thing out there you could imagine. Whatever thing that you wanted, whatever that your heart desired, you would give in to. I'm going to tell you, you start looking at self too much, you'll be discouraged. You'll get critical of others. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do. But you know what I've noticed about that? Those people don't have a lot of peace. When you and I do that, we don't have a lot of peace. We have some turmoil in our hearts. We wonder, why do we have turmoil there like that? Why do we have that? We have that because we're looking at ourselves. By the way, here's another thing. You and I are not the measuring stick. Christ is. Christ is the measuring stick. We're running the race to see Him. I'm not running the race to see you. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? You have to be careful about, the Bible says, comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise. Right? You got to be careful about that. Why? Because it'll give you a haughty spirit, that's why. If you and I think that we're the measuring stick, because, hey, listen, we preach hard in this church. We preach on hard things. But if you and I think that we are the measuring stick, if I think as a pastor that I'm the measuring stick, then what happens? Those people usually end up discouraged, and they usually end up cast down, and they usually end up not having the joy of the Lord. Why is that? Well, because you've made yourself the measuring stick. But the Word of God, this is what we live our lives by. Amen? This is what we compare ourselves to. And I'm going to tell you what, it's easy. It's easy to start thinking about ourselves too much. It's so easy. Man, I'll tell you what, I've met people that they can ruin anything. I mean, you think you got something all planned together, things will work, and they'll just drop a bomb on you? Ruin everything. Not a real bomb, but... Right? Before I was saved, I used to be around people like that would do that. They would just ruin everything. You'd have all your plans set up, and they would just ruin them by a bad attitude or a sour spirit. They would ruin it. Why? Because they're selfish and they're concentrating on themselves and not others, not the Lord and not others, but themselves. And we have to be careful not to do that. We have to be careful never to do that, because we are no good to anybody else when we're looking at us. Amen? When you and I are looking at each other, you know, looking out for others, we'll do a lot better. When our eyes are fixed on the Lord and not ourselves, and we get a good dose of a prayer closet of a Holy Ghost meeting where God shows us who we really are, amen? And we're not as hard on everybody else. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, the heart that is near to Christ is not depressed. It's not discouraged. Why? Number one, his eyes are on Christ. Right? He's focused. David said, my heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. Amen? So he would sing and give praises unto the Lord. That heart that is looking to Christ, that is closest to God, that is praising God, that is hoping in God, he's not going to be cast down. I will tell you, the greatest foe that you will ever face is yourself. Let me help you with that. The greatest foe that you will ever face in your life is you. See, we don't think that because we think the devil, he's an adversary. Yes, he is. He's a very vicious one. Mm-hmm. And my husband not doing things right, that's got to be harder than me. No. My wife not doing things the way she's supposed to, that's got to be harder than me. No. No. The greatest foe that you have is yourself. The flesh. The fight, the war is on. The devil comes from the outside, right? But I have an enemy within, and that's my flesh, that's my spirit, that's my carnal nature there, that fallen spirit, that fallen nature. Man's fallen nature. It's my worst enemy. Why? Because there are things that you could never talk me into doing, but I can talk myself into. Right? Isn't that right? If you came to me and told me something, and you wanted me to do this scheme that you dreamed up, like, I'm not doing that. But if I started thinking something in my mind and justifying my own self in my mind, man, I could get away with anything. Right? I would do that because I've convinced myself that it's okay to do. That's why it's the greatest fight you'll ever fight is against yourself. And the devil uses it. That's why he uses you against you. Right? It's where temptations come in and everything else. Because all he has to do is whisper it, but it's your fallen nature that loves it. It's your fallen nature that loves to give in. loves sin, right? That's why you're told to walk in newness of life, because our fallen nature, it loves the sin. It's attracted to it. And by the way, you will not change that flesh on this side. That's why it's dangerous. That's right. Until we see Him and we're like Him. That's right. It's a good question to ask. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God. See how David shifts the focus off of him and onto God? Our lives would be a lot easier if our focus was off of us and on God.
Amen.
It's the simple life. It's that simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's very simple. When we are not focused on ourselves, when we do not make ourselves the measuring stick for others, and we do not glorify or have a self-righteous attitude towards other people. And it's something that you and I will fight. I had somebody say to me the other day, we were talking about pride or something, and they didn't think they had any or anything. I said, every man has pride. Every man has to fight pride. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you have. Doesn't matter. Pride. Pride is something that we all fight. Doesn't matter who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. You will fight pride. Right? Because you and I think too highly of ourselves. And I know it's not, nobody wants to hear how bad they are. But we do, we think we're pretty good. Right? We do. We say we don't, right? And we want to believe that we don't, but then in our actions we prove that we're very proud people. And we have to fight that. We have to fight it. The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Right? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Think about that one. It's so easy to take what we have, the truth that we have, and beat somebody's brains with it, right? It's pretty easy. We can do it. But remember what charity, what the Bible says about charity. Charity edifieth. The Corinthians, Paul got on the Corinthians because he said, you have a lot of knowledge, but you're pretty puffed up. You know a lot, but you're puffed up. I was going to preach a message on that sometime called Puffed Up, and I will in the future, not now, because we're going to eat lunch here, but... I plan on preaching on that because, you know what? You can know a lot of things and God can have showed you and revealed a lot of things to you, but it's proven in the Scriptures that we can be puffed up by it. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous attitude to have because we can hurt others with it. So remember that. Remember, when you concentrate on yourself, what you're really actually being is puffed up. That's what you're being. So David had to get himself right there. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God. That's your focus on the Lord. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Think about it. Think about it, then think on the Lord and think on these things, what the Bible says to think about. But don't allow yourself to be consumed and fixated with something. Unless it's Christ. You can never be too consumed with Him and His Word. Amen? Never. We ought to be careful. Because it's so easy. It's so very easy to fall for that. It's so very easy to get ourselves in that place. I know from experience. Amen? Father, Lord, thank you. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless the food to our bodies that we're about to receive. Lord, bless the fellowship that we have one with another. And Lord, bless the afternoon service as well after the preaching, Lord, and the prayer time that we'll have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.